Would you turn to First Samuel chapter 16? First Samuel chapter 16. We'll read from verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you," and said, "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you should do. You should anoint for me the one I named to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said, and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eli and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And continue verse 10. Thus Jesse made the seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remain yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with the bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. That's the word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for repeatedly remind us of your love for us this morning. Who are we that you choose to walk alongside? Thank you for showering us with all spiritual blessings so each one of us can bring something to the sacrifice of thanksgiving to give glory to you. Although we have a different speaker, we trust that your work in us continues, that you will continue to speak to us. Lord, we pray that we'll learn some lesson from the young David. We also pray that you can gain something for us, that you can gain all of us as your close friend. Thank you for listening to our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 First, I want to thank you for all your prayer. Without your prayers, I would not have the courage to stand here. I'm sure that you're familiar with the story since your Sunday school days. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter. David was the greatest king to ever sit on the throne of Israel. But David's biography, when it first appeared in the Bible, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, David was a shepherd boy, an unlikely candidate for a king. Because of King Saul's disobedience, God judged him as unfit to reign. And Samuel had delivered the message. Samuel was close to King Saul. He was the one who anointed Saul, discipled Saul, and prepared Saul for the kingship. Now, God had put King Saul aside. It seems that Samuel had every reason to grieve. Samuel grieved over the past and worried about the future. He assumed that the nation of Israel will face worse days ahead. Sounds like how we handle problems. Worry, worry, worry. So God came along and talked to Samuel. How long would you mourn over the unchangeable past? I am in control. It's time to move forward. Let's go to Bethlehem. So put on your sandals and fill your horn with oil. I have a new plan. I have a new king. I'm sure Samuel must feel nervous. How can I go? If King Saul hears this, he will kill me. So God gave Samuel a second reason for going to Bethlehem. People will only know that he came to offer sacrifice to the Lord, but not the main reason for making the trip. And an arrangement was also made for him to eat at Jesse's place after the sacrifice. Now the introduction began. Jesse's son entered the room, and Samuel took a look at Eliab and concluded, this must be my lucky day. Surely, God's anointed is right here. At this point, Samuel had no idea who God's choice was. If Samuel had his way, he surely will miss David, because Samuel was convinced the oldest, the biggest, the best-looking son of Jesse has got to be God's choice. In other words, Samuel was ready to settle on another person who was built like King Saul. But God reprimanded Samuel. Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as men see. Men look for outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. If without God's warning, any of Jesse's seven sons would look like king's material to Samuel, Samuel's action actually reflects our tendencies. No matter how many times we have gone through, no matter how many times we should have learned, we tend to judge people by their look, their ability, their professional positions, their education, and so forth. We tend to focus externally, whereas God looks for people who share his heart. Meanwhile, Jesse was excited about his son because his son will have the opportunity to meet and to eat with the great prophet and priest Samuel in person. In Jesse's mind, perhaps Samuel was looking for an apprentice, a helper. After all, Jesse's seven sons had passed before Samuel. Samuel told Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these. Are these all the sons that you have?" And Jesse replied, "There's still the youngest one, but he's keeping sheep." In an Oriental society, usually the father favors either the oldest or the youngest son. But in Jesse's family, the youngest means the least important. For some reason, as recorded in Psalm 27, David was abandoned, deserted by his parents. We also know that David was despised by his brothers. Jesse had no intention to introduce David to Samuel. To him, David was only good enough to do the menial job. So Samuel and Jesse seemed to stand there looking at each other. Samuel was waiting for Jesse to say something. "Okay, I will go and get our son." But Jason never offered that. So finally, Samuel told Jesse, "Go and find him. We are not going to sit down until he comes in here." I'm sure David knew of Samuel's visit because important news travels fast. Can you imagine that the most important spiritual leader of your generation is eating at your house? And every member of the family was invited except you. Anyway, David was glad to be included. So he entered the room, and there we see a red cheeked with bright eyes, good looking, but still smell like sheep, farm boy. And God told Samuel, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." So without saying anything to David, or to his father, or to his brothers, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Samuel got up and left the scene. No fanfare, no explanation, no legal pronouncement, but for good reason. Outwardly, David seemed to be a nobody, not appreciated or respected by his family. But his hidden life, praise the Lord, has already earned him the title of a man after God's own heart, in God's eyes, as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. David was divinely chosen. Most people guesstimated that David was about 14, 15 years old. My question is, if a 14, 15-year-old can develop a heart for the Lord, there must be some simple lessons that we can learn and grow together. My first question is, how did David achieve such rank? What has David accomplished? Now, he's too young to develop a long, distinguished curricula vitae. He has nothing to show that he's a successful man. The only real item on his short resume is the occupation of a humble shepherd. But David is chosen not because of his doings. David is chosen because he has a heart for the Lord. It is his being, not the doings. David put the friendship with the Lord above anybody or anything else. We tend to pay too much attention on our works, our doings, and neglected to keep our heart in tune with the Lord. One day I was visiting an elderly brother. He was a member of our assembly in the 70s. He was staying at a nice nursing home, but he was not in a good mood on the day of my visit. He was frustrated. He said, "Ina, I'm locked up here in this place and cannot do anything for the Lord." So I shared the story of David with him. It is not our doings. But if you can develop a heart for the Lord, the Lord will be very pleased. That seemed to bring some comfort to our brother. So I shared the story with a sister, and the sister told me she was going to write down what I told her. And I got curious. Why do you want to write the things down? So this is her explanation. She said, "One day, I too will be confined in a nursing home. And she will bring the story to me as a reminder." This is how she sees it. Even though that we have the right kind of teaching, it's easy to fall back on old habits. It helps if we can remind each other from time to time. How did David develop a heart for the Lord? In order to know the Lord, we first must be willing to spend time with him. Israel was a God's chosen nation. Most everybody knew about God. But David was different. He pursued God. We never heard of David cry self-pity or complain about his misfortune. David just took his lot and went to the Lord. Some years ago, when our son was still working in California, he sent me a Father's Day card. In the letter, he asked me to clean his room. Why should I clean his room? Because, he said, he's coming home. Why was he coming home? Because, he said, he wanted to come home and spend more time at home so he can know his father better. My first reaction is, it's about time for him to get to know his old man. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I suddenly realized our son was teaching me a lesson. I should be the one who writes this letter to the Heavenly Father, telling him that I want to spend more time with him in order to get to know him better. Brothers and sisters, the Lord still wants to win us over as his friends today. We are to help and remind each other to fulfill his wish. That is to develop a heart-to-heart friendship with the Lord. Forgive me for being redundant. David has 7 older brothers. These brothers live in the same house, wandering down the same street, playing in the same field. Actually, these brothers had a greater advantage because they had a father who was proud of them, who introduced them to the prophet. But the sad thing is, not one of them was a man after God's own heart. That's only true with David. His older brother could be men after God's own heart, but they were not. Why? Because they did not choose to live being friends with God their priority. Meantime, David found the Lord as his closest and the dearest friend. So what can we learn from a friend? A friend is someone you can count on. Some missionary friends, they were talking about their trip to South America. One day, they discovered some beautiful flowers on the steep slope of a hillside just right below them. So they found a local little boy and asked him if he would be willing to pick the flower for them. They will hold his leg and lower him down and pay him for his effort. The little boy agreed to the deal, but he did not want them to hold his leg. Instead, he went home and got his big brother to lower him down. We are told not to trust strangers, but a friend is someone you can count on. With a friend, you can have certain expectations. For instance, if we have a need, be it babysitting or getting a ride, you tend to call your friends first. Your friends will not tell you, let me think about it. If that comes from your friend, That's an insult. A friend is someone who will protect you. When I was growing up in China, few people have pets, have dogs as their pets. Dogs are usually used as guard dogs. There was this family at the beginning of our alley who had a German Shepherd. Normally the dog was chained, so theoretically they cannot reach us. However, his barking and charging to an elementary school kid was always intimidating. So every time I walk past the unit, I pretend not to look at the dog. But my eyeballs were focusing on him all the time. One day, the hostess of the unit was kind enough to invite me over for refreshment. Once I entered their unit, I discovered the dog was allowed to run loose in the house. Oh, I quickly learned to stay close to the hostess. Wherever she went, I was her shadow. She was my protector. Throughout the book of Psalms, you can easily find places where David readily acknowledging the Lord is his protector, his shield, his shelter, his salvation. With a friend, you can talk freely. You can be yourself. When David was out there tending sheep, in his loneliness, he learned to communicate with the Lord. Their talk covered many subjects. Part of their conversation was recorded in Psalms. They talked like old friends. Sometimes David complained, even about God himself. How long do I have to wait for you? Sometimes David expressed doubt. Why does the wicked prosper? When our son was 6 years old, he had a friend stay over for the weekend. So we made the list of activities for them to be entertained. Saturday morning, we were driving on Midlothian Turnpike. Our little guest discovered Papa's place, and he wanted to stop there. Our son tried to explain to him, Papa, no, the miniature golf place, it's not on the agenda. I could hear the 2 6-year-old talking in the back seat. And I could see them via the rear view mirror. Our little guest argued, in his family, whatever he wanted, his parents always listened to him. Sounds like a king in the making. And our son tried, but he was not successful in winning the discussion. So finally, our son reluctantly agreed to call his father's attention to stop at Papa. He struggled, I can see him, before he called my attention. Mr. Wei, he called me. He never addressed me as Mr. Wei before or since. When I hear people pray to God with formality these days, I begin to wonder if there's some hidden agenda somewhere. I gather David did not come from a wealthy family because I did not detect the presence of a servant in the house or out in the field tending sheep. According to David's brother's assessment, David did not have too many sheep. Obviously, he could not afford to lose any. I believe David is a humble person. I mean, a humble person is the one who recognizes his own ability is rather limited. You must learn to rely on someone else. So David learned to rely on the Lord. When he was outside tending sheep in the wilderness, he may have encountered at the beginning some small wild animal trying to snatch his sheep away. David must be petrified. So he brought the problem to the Lord and exercised some faith, a little bit at a time. Gradually, he realized the Lord is reliable. Now, we can learn the same truth also. That is, the Lord is both loving and almighty. There are people who are loving but not mighty. Then there are others who are mighty but not loving. But the Lord is both. His is love to the uttermost. His is the power that upholds the universe. If God were a magnet and David a metal iron, by staying close to the magnet, the metal iron can temporarily inherit the property of magnetism. David stayed close to the God, to the Lord, and was able to draw enough power to kill the lion and the bear. And when the bear, and when the Bible says, when a lion came or a bear came, it means it happens more than once. When David tried to get permission to fight Goliath, King Saul initially turned him down. No way. You are just a boy. Goliath is a professional warrior. What did you say? How tall you are? 5-something? Goliath's 9'9". He's a giant. So David feel compelled to tell him the life-threatening experiences, rescuing sheep from lion and bear with nothing but a shepherd's rod. He told King Saul, these are real events, not something imaginary. They are real facts, not some head knowledge, but something that David himself was personally involved. More importantly, David realized God's hand behind the scene. So he gave all the credits to his invisible friend. He declared, "The Lord deliver me." An untested soldier is not necessarily a good soldier. But David is a tested soldier. He believed the one who's delivered him from the paw of a lion and the paw of a bear can deliver him from the hand of Goliath. In a way, he taught King Saul a Sunday school lesson. The issue here is not how big Goliath is. The issue here is how big God is. And King Saul agreed and granted him permission to fight Goliath. chapter 14 also made, chapter 16, excuse me, also mentioned that David is a musician. Not just any musician, but the top one in the land. To be a good musician, you must be willing to practice all the time. Now, we don't always see the hard work that they put in behind the scene. If I remember correctly, the year was 1980, when the Operation Mobilization came to town. At the end of their meeting, they show a short film strip in which they interview Brother Huang Mingdao in China. Brother Huang Mingdao was a beloved pastor who was put in prison for many years because of his faith. The interviewer asked him if he had any word for the brethren of the West. At that time, Brother Huang Mingdao was about 90 years old and hard of hearing. So he sang loudly, "All the way my Savior leads me." When he finished, I thought he would stop, but he continued singing the same hymn in English version, also by heart. I was touched. He must be praising the Lord in jail all the day long. With all their practice, he was able to deliver a testimony. This is my story. This is my song. So did David. Remember, he was not respected by his family. In a way, he was ostracized. But this is how he spent his days. He came to the Lord day and night. When he was happy and when he was sad, there was no audience, just the sheep. There was no atmosphere to sing. But he chose to come to bear the testimony that God's grace is greater than his cross. To Jesse, David is just some kid with an overactive imagination. He's always fiddling with his harp and singing when he should be watching his father's sheep. He's always writing poetry to God. That really got Jesse puzzled. The king's only 14, 15 years old. What does he know about God? Jesse had no idea that David was singing praises of God, worshiping God, and giving glory to God. All you need to do is just read a few songs of David's to realize why David is called a man after God's own heart. Theoretically speaking, God has the angels sing praises to him every day. They are songs of adoration, shall we say, a part of the program. But David This shepherd boy is different. He sings from his heart. When he's playing music, it brings sweet, sweet sound to God's ear. God was willing to come and listen to him play. Even though David was surrounded by smelly sheep. Even the people around David knew that the Lord was with David. After the Spirit of the Lord had left King Saul, the evil spirit came to torment him from time to time. And King Saul's attendants recommended to have David play the music so that King Saul could have some peace. This is how David was brought to play music for King Saul. So when David began to play his music, God, as usual, came to listen to him. And the evil spirit realized that God was in the audience and felt uncomfortable remaining in his seat. So he got up and left. Sorry, wrong address. You say, I'm no David. I failed in the past. My life had gone through mud. A professor came to his class of 200, and he waved a $20 bill in the air and asked anybody would like to have the money. 200 hands raised up. He said, okay, let me do this. So he put the dollar bill in his hand and crumbled it up and asked, still who wants it? 200 hands went up in the air. He said, okay, let me do this. He threw the $20 bill on the floor and stepped on it. Now the money is both crumbled and dirty. And he asked the class, who still want the money? And 200 hands were in the air. Why do the students still want the crumbled and dirty money? Because it does not decrease in value. It's still worth $20. If you're a child of God, if you're not, you need to receive Jesus as your Savior first. But if you're a child of God, no matter what you have done in the past, no matter what your life has gone through, you did not decrease in value in God's eyes. You are still special to him because you are a child of God. You are a member of the big family. You are bought with a price. You are the object of his love. He still wants you back. We have to learn to make being friend with God our top choice. Remember, it doesn't matter how we walk in life. It matters whom you walk with and who holds your hand. While you wait, let's pray. Lord, you have been faithful to us. You have been patient with us. And you still try to win us over as your close friend. Lord, help us to turn our faith into action, to make being friend with God our top priority in life. Thank you for your blessing this morning. We pray in Jesus' name.